Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The Ark of the Covenant, where is it? That special, powerful Ark that was in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and in the temple.
And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. You shall overlay it inside and out, and shall make on it a crown molding of gold all around the top edge. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and shall put it on its 4 feet. And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And you shall make staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, so that the ark may be carried by them.
Where is it? Well, some people think that it's in Ethiopia.
Just behind these gates, the Ethiopian Ark of the Covenant is stored.
Just behind me is the church where they say the Ark of the Covenant is kept, just there.
But no one is allowed in, and the priest protecting the Ark is forbidden to leave. His destiny is to die behind these gates. He is both the guardian of the Ark and its prisoner.
Some people think that it's buried somewhere under the labyrinth of all of the tunnels in Jerusalem. And let me tell you, it's a miracle that Jerusalem is still above ground, because there are miles and miles and miles of tunnels under that whole area. So why do people want the Ark of the Covenant? Why do nations want the Ark of the Covenant? And it was during World War II that Hitler and Himmler were searching the earth, trying to find the Ark to give them the power to be able to win World War II, because there was power associated with the Ark.
Templars were massive relic hunters. They dug things up out of Jerusalem, they went into Africa, into Ethiopia, they possibly got hold of the Ark of the Covenant. They possibly got hold of the Holy Grail. Now, if those things ended up in this country, there's a distinct possibility they would have come from the south coast, heading up north, heading towards Scotland, for example. This would have been the perfect place to have stored it on its journey as it headed north.
Huh. And that's been what men have wanted down through the centuries. Let's come back and get a little history of it to Exodus 25, and let's see why God wanted the tabernacle, then later the temple. So, he told Moses to tell the children of Israel, bring all of these various things. You can read in verses 1 through 7, and then he explains why. And let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. The key point was this. That would have the presence of God, also called the Shekinah, with the children of Israel at the temple of God, so that God would be their God and they would be his people. Then there were 4 rings so that the priest could carry it. They could not pick it up and touch it. They had to have those poles into those 4 rings in order for it to be carried. And it was put into the Holy of Holies, and so sacred and so holy and so powerful that God allowed the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement to come into the Holy of Holies with offering of blood for forgiveness and incense to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement only. They could not go in at any time that they desired. And none of the other priests could go in. None of the other Levites could go in. Just the high priest. As long as they loved God, obeyed him, kept his commandments, then he said to them, I will go before you in battle, and I will fight for you. And this is what men like to have, a sure weapon of victory. So the first time this was done was when they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and the priest, that you will take the Ark of the Covenant and you will circle the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, you shall circle it 7 times, and then all the people will give a shout and the walls of Jericho will collapse inward. And that happened. And guess what they've discovered in the archaeological digging where Jericho used to be? The walls fell inward, not outward. And so, whenever they would go to battle, God would tell them to go to battle and take the Ark of the Covenant, and he would fight the battle for them. Now, that would only work if the people were righteous, and if the priests were righteous. So let's come to the book of 1 Samuel, and let's see what happened when they weren't righteous. Let's see what happened when they went to battle without the Ark of the Covenant, and then what happened when they went back and got the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that that would cause them to win the battle. Now, this was in the days of Samuel, as he was growing up, being dedicated to the priesthood. There was Eli the high priest and his 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were not handling the sacrifices correctly, and they were committing adultery with the women right at the gate of the tabernacle. So let's come to 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, and let's see what God said that he was going to do to Israel because of their sin. Then we will see what happened when they took the ark to go out and make God give them the victory because they had the ark. Wow, what we're going to learn is you don't do that. So Samuel got this vision. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, And the Lord came and stood and called out at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel of which both the ears of everyone who hears it shall tingle. And in that day I will confirm to Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, and what I have begun I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. So then Eli came and said, Samuel, tell me what God said. So Samuel told him what was going to happen. And Samuel said, Yes, it's the Lord. Now, let's come down here to chapter 4. Let's see what happened with the ark. Because that would also happen today if anyone found the ark. So the question is, where is the ark? We'll see, the Bible tells us. But hang on. Let's see what happened here. 1 Samuel 4. And the word of Samuel was revealed to all Israel, and Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched inside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched at Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in order against Israel. And when the battle commenced, Israel was beaten before the Philistines, and they killed 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord beaten us today before the Philistines?" Now, notice what they wanted to do. Now, remember this. God is not going to do what these priests want them to do as long as they're sinning. Remember, you can never live in sin. I don't care who you are, where you are, what age you live in, how old you are, how young you are, whether you're male, female, makes no difference. You cannot live in sin and expect the blessings of God. And this is the lesson of it right here. Let's see it. So they said, "Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh to us, and so when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh in order to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts from there, the Ark which dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when it came to pass, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now then, the Philistines became afraid, because they knew of the battles that happened in the past, in which Israel won against them. Now, look at what's happening today over there with the Palestinians, who are the Philistines and the Amalekites, and the war that's going on there. Back to 1 Samuel 4 and verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What is the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they saw that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, and they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for there has not been a thing like this before. Woe to us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that struck the Egyptians and all the plagues in the wilderness." So they understood the history of the whole thing, and they knew how Israel succeeded. So they told them, "Be strong and fight like men, O Philistines, so that you may not be servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." Now, notice what happened. God didn't give them the victory. He let the Philistines win. Let's see what happened. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was beaten. Each one of them fled to his tent, and it was a very great slaughter, for there fell 30,000 footmen of Israel, and the Ark of God was taken. Ha! The Philistines took it. And Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were slain. And the prophecy was that Eli and his two sons would die the same day. Well, when the messenger came back and told Eli, he fell over backward and died. So the prophecy of God was, boom, done just like that. The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken. The Philistines took the Ark, and they brought it into the house of their god, Dagon, and put it as a prize of war right in front of Dagon in their temple. Well, when they came back the next morning to worship, guess what they found? Dagon had fallen over, so they stood it up and put the Ark there again. And the next day they came back, and Dagon had fallen down, and now his head was severed. and both his hands were broken off. Then God began to really strike them with plagues. 1 Samuel 5 and verse 6. And the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and struck them with hemorrhoids, and Ashdod and its borders. And the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, and they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not stay with us, for his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon our God." Now, this tells us the lesson this. No other people can handle the ark of God except the priests of God. And no other heathen nation can take it. It is not in Ethiopia. It is not in South Africa. It is not at the Vatican. I'll tell you something a little more about it here in just a bit. So they said, "What are we going to do with the ark?" Because they were struck with mice and struck with hemorrhoids. And so the priest of Dagon said, "Look, the only way we're going to stop this is you make a new cart and you make offerings of gold, of hemorrhoids and mice, and put it in the cart, and we'll send it back to Israel, because we will all be destroyed if you don't do it." But the ark was there 7 months with the Philistines. Can you imagine the sickness? Can you imagine the pain and agony? See? Now this tells us no other nation is going to have it. So they sent him away, and it came to Kirjat Jearim, chapter 7.
Plans are already getting underway to explore Kirjat Jearim this summer, which is mentioned in the Bible over a dozen times. This town of Judah is just outside of Jerusalem and was inhabited during the period of the Judges and King David. The Ark is undoubtedly the most sought-after biblical artifact in world history, and sorry, film fams, not even Indiana Jones has ever found it. But let's hope the new dig is able to turn up some clues as to where it might be.
Now, Kirjat Jearim, verse 1, "And the men of Kirjat Jearim came and brought up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and they sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord." So they put a priest in charge of it. And then it was there 20 years. Then after that, when David was made king, he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant out from Kirjath Jearim. So what he did, he sent men with a cart to bring the Ark, and he made a special place in his house, a special little tabernacle that would house the Ark, and he had priests who would tend to the ark. So they went down to Kirjat Jearim to bring it back, and as they were bringing it back in a cart, the cart stumbled a bit, and the ark looked like it was going to fall out, and Uzzah reached up his hand to steady the ark, and he was struck dead. And so David stopped the whole thing, went no further, and it took him a couple of months later to figure out how to bring the ark up to Jerusalem, up to his house. And so then he read that only the priest should do it. So they brought it up to the house of David and placed it there. And the rest of the tabernacle was at Gibeon. And there they had the sacrifices. So when Solomon dedicated the temple, he brought everything from Gibeon down to the new temple, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant from the house of David, and they were put into the new tabernacle, the building that Solomon built. And it was dedicated, and God showed his glory and his power and his pleasure that they would receive because they were doing the right thing. And that was quite a thing that took place, really, when you understand it. So we won't go into all of that. But except to say this, the promise of God, both for blessing and both for punishment or cursing, are always in effect. Well, down through history, they had good kings and bad kings and evil kings. And so when it came time during the days of Jeremiah that he was sent as a prophet to warn the children of Judah that God was going to remove them from Jerusalem and send them off into captivity into Babylon. Now then, here is the key. And all of the vessels that were taken to Babylon, nothing in the Bible shows that they took the Ark of the Covenant. Nothing in the cuneiform records written in clay listing all of the things that they took from the temple when they captured Jerusalem and carried the children of Israel off into captivity into Babylon, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't listed. Now, when the word came from Cyrus to send the captivities back to the land of Israel, he gave them all of the things from the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had taken. And it wasn't listed with all of the vessels and goods that went back to Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity. So where was the Ark of the Covenant? Everybody says they're looking for it. The Jews say, well, it's buried somewhere under Jerusalem. Even one man who was digging down there said he saw a vision of the Ark, Ron Wyatt. But that wasn't so.
When Christ died and the earth shook and the rocks were rent, a crack came right down the entire face of the escarpment, right past the left side of the cross hole, and the stone opened up. Down below, 20 feet below, God had arranged for the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat, if you please, his earthly throne. The blood of the Son of God gushed out, went down through that crack onto the mercy seat. The fourth trip I made into this chamber, it was spotless. Furnishings were set in perfect order. The Ark of the Covenant, however, had been placed against the wall. When I found it like this, there were four young men standing in there. We are the four angels that have been taking care of the ark since Moses put the tables of stone in it. I was then instructed to take a sample of the blood from the mercy seat, have that analyzed. I took the blood into a laboratory in Israel. They said it's human blood, we can tell that. They did whatever tests they need to do. And they looked at me and they said, Mr. Wyatt, this human blood only has 24 chromosomes in it. Everybody else has 46. Then they said, this blood is alive. And then they said, whose blood is this? I said, it's the blood of your Messiah.
So where is the Ark? What happened to the Ark? Where is the next place that we find any mention of the Ark? And we will see it's not in the hands of any human beings. Let's come to Revelation 11. Now, Revelation 11 is quite interesting because the temple that is going to be built is prophesied of in the first part of Revelation 11. But there is no Ark of the Covenant in that temple. Then the seventh trump sounds, and the resurrection takes place. And the first two raised from the dead are the two witnesses. than all the rest in the first resurrection. This tells us where the Ark of the Covenant is. Let's read it. Verse 15, Revelation 11. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpets, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity." That's the return of Christ. And he's coming back with all power, with all signs, with all wonders, and all of the resurrected saints from Abel right on down to the two witnesses. Then here's a scene in heaven. And the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones, and they're right in front of the throne of God, as you find in chapter 4 and 5. And by the way, in chapter 4 and 5, doesn't say anything about the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 17, here's what they say, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come, for you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. For the nations were angry, your wrath has come, the time for the dead to be judged and to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to your saints." That's the resurrection. "And to all those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." Now, verse 19 tells us where the Ark of the Covenant is. It's nowhere on the earth. It's nowhere under the control of men. Let's read it. "And the temple of God in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in his temple." That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. Up there in safekeeping with God. Not left down here on the earth for evil men to try and get it and win wars like Hophni and Phinehas. Okay? No, because God will not let evil men have that to perpetrate their wicked desires. So, how did it get up into heaven? We're not told, but we can make a very calculated assumption on it, which is this: that before the temple was destroyed the first time, in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, that angels of God came and took the covenant and took it up to the throne area of God in heaven above. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant is today. So, if the Jews say when they're building the temple, "Oh, look, we found the Ark of the Covenant," it's a fake. Don't believe it. They will lie to you so that they can have power over people. Nowhere do we find a nation stricken with hemorrhoids and mice. So the only answer is the Ark of the Covenant is safely in heaven near the throne of God where it should be. Now be sure and ask for our books. Here's the one you need, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. We'll send it to you free. Here's another one you need immediately if you don't have it, Lord, What Should I Do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope that you have understood what we have covered concerning the Ark of the Covenant. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.